Well, praise God, church. Get your Bibles out this morning. That was pretty weak. That was kind of like off key or something. Get your Bibles out this morning. Thank you. There you go. You should be excited about the Word of God, so you ought to have a little woohoo inside of you, you know, to learn something out of the Word. And I want you to go to the book of Ephesians chapter 6 this morning. Ephesians chapter 6. Now, I was looking back at some of my notes from December of 2013. It was actually the first Sunday of December of 2013 that the Lord had shared something with me, and I spoke it to you all about what I thought was going to happen in 2014. And one of the things that I had declared was going to happen was that 2014 was going to be a year that you would really come to know Jesus better, that your eyes would be open, that you'd have a better understanding of the Word, things would make more sense to you. And I tell you, I'm really amazed at some of y'all have been telling me testimonies of things going on in your lives and the things that God's been speaking to you and the things and revelations you're having. And I'm telling you, I really believe with all of my heart that this is the period and the time that we're in. God wants us to have a greater understanding of Him and His the workings of His Word. Because let me tell you something. I want you to know this morning, God is for each and every one of y'all. I've preached to you all year that you're a VIP. You're very important people. And God is for each and every one of you. He wants you. Jesus said He wants you to have abundance, abundant life. He wants it in you. He doesn't want you to be walking through days of discouragement and depression and saying, oh my God, what's going to happen? How's this going to work out? And worry and fretting. He doesn't want that. He wants you to have abundance and abundant life. Amen? Everybody say abundant life. But you know, abundant life is not just going to fall on you out of the sky. You're not just going to be just, you know, go to sleep one morning and wake up and all of a sudden you just have abundant life on you. Abundant life comes from you learning who Jesus is. It comes from you taking some steps in your life, you working and striving to know and to grow. Amen? I'm glad y'all are in church this morning. I'm glad you came to church. You took time to be in church because I know that if you're here and your heart's right, you're going to receive from heaven, you're going to hear from heaven, and you're going to leave this building later differently. God's going to bless you. Amen? And there's going to come a time, I tell you, there's going to come a time that the world turns and sees that all their ways and the things that they're thinking and what they're doing is wrong. They're gonna be hungry for God. They're gonna be hungry for Jesus. They're gonna be hungry to know Him. You say, I don't know, Pastor. That doesn't look like that is. Yeah, right now it doesn't look too hopeful. Right? But I preached a message on a Wednesday night about there's three things that really makes people seek God. And one of them is need. And I tell you, the world's getting to a place where it needs God. It's coming to a place where desperation, man, is setting into people, and people are need God because there is no other answer. There's no answer to find peace. There's no answer to find joy except Jesus. Amen? Everybody say Jesus. Jesus. Man, I'm telling you what, He is the answer to everything. Amen? So I've been preaching this message here of take the bull by the horns, and we started talking about the very first thing. It's 10 principles that you can put in your life, 10 principles you can start to walk in that I guarantee you, if you would apply the principles to your life, man, you're going to find abundance. You're going to find abundant joy. You're going to find abundant peace. But if you don't apply it, if you just hear me this morning and you just listen and then say, oh, that was entertaining, Pastor, it was funny, and then you leave and go home and you never think about it again, you don't apply yourself to it, I want to tell you something, you're not going to get anything. Hello? You might as well have stayed at home and ate potato chips. At least you could have enjoyed them. All right? And so I'm teaching this. We have a book coming out. Hopefully in a few weeks we can get them out and into your hands on these principles. I really believe this will change your life. All right? But you got to apply yourself. First principle is that you've got to learn who Jesus is. You can't walk anymore in life by what your mama told you or what your daddy told you or what religion tells you. You have to find Jesus for yourself. You have to learn who He is. And the only way you're going to learn who He is you have to read your Bibles and you have to want to know and see who He is in the Bible. Why did Jesus stop and see Zacchaeus up a sycamore tree and stop to say, hey, I want to come eat at your house tonight? Why did that happen? You see, it's not enough just to know the story, the Bible story. You know, Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. We learn those as children, but they're for a principle because the Word is life. Hebrews 4 tells us that the Word of God is life. It is the life you're looking for. Your answer is in the Word of God. Your answer for your problem today you're in is in the Word of God. The answer that you're needing in life, it's in the Word. And if you would let the Word come on the inside of you and the Holy Spirit illuminate it to you, boom, you got your answer. Okay? But you got to learn, why did Jesus, you know, what was it that of a whole crowd of people, think about this, of a whole crowd of people, there was so much of a crowd that Zacchaeus could not see Jesus. So he climbed up in a tree to get a better advantage of seeing him. So that's a lot of people. But what did he do that caused him to stop? To look up in the tree and say, Zacchaeus, I want to come into your house today. What was it? Well, if you study it, you read it, and you pray about it, and you ask the Holy Spirit, which what takes us into point two, was meditating upon the Word of God. And you start to sit around and meditate on that. And you start to think about it and say, okay, Lord, what was it about Zacchaeus that stopped you? I mean, the guy was a heathen. He wasn't saved. He had no rights or privilege or covenants. Why was that? And you start to just say, come on, Holy Spirit, show me this. What's he talking about? And you chew on it, and you mull it over, and you look, and you say, well, what? Let's think about this. And then you start to see, well, wait a minute, you know. Zacchaeus was in faith. He wanted to see Jesus. He didn't say that he was in faith, like really believed he was the Son of God, but something had compelled him to do something extreme, like a prominent person up a tree. Oh, he said, well, he was just in faith. He really wasn't in faith. He just wanted to see Jesus. You see, there's more to the story than just reading the Word and being able to sing the song. And as you meditate on it, as you look at it, as you chew on it, as you turn it around and you look and you start to dissect the whole thing, all of a sudden that's when the Holy Spirit can come into your life and begin to speak into you and say, you know, Zacchaeus, you know, one thing about him is he didn't have any pride in his life. Because he was willing to climb up a tree, and Jesus saw that. And you know, you know, there may be a little pride in your life. Are y'all with me? That's how God works. But if you're not reading your Bible and you're not meditating on the Word, then the Holy Spirit can't come in there and talk to you and tell you things about your own life that can set you free. The thing about Zacchaeus that jumps out is the dude was prominent, but he crawled up a tree. He didn't let pride keep him from seeing who Jesus was, which took him to his house, which got him set free, which got him saved and in heaven and a prosperous man from heaven. Are y'all with me? But see, you got to read. You got to look through that. So the first thing is you got to be learning who Jesus is. Second thing is you got to be meditating on the Word. The third thing is you got to take control of your thoughts. Folks, you cannot just think every crazy thought that you want to think. It's like, I wrestle with this all the time. I went to Kerrville the other day, and I was in there, and about halfway through the day, I just stopped and said, Lord, what happened this morning? Did they get on the radio and announced every bad driver, if they would just get out on the road and run up and down the streets and give them money at the end of the day? How could this many lunatics be out on the road today, Lord? What is wrong with everybody? And the Lord said, is that what you're going to focus on today? And I was like, well, I am focused on it right now. And he said, well, you need to get off of it. So you see, you can't just think every crazy thought. If I dwelt on that thought all day long, it would ruin everything about me, because if circumstances and situations dictate your joy, you're always going to be unhappy. Hello. If circumstances, if your day is going to be measured by how everything goes right, it's going to bring you joy. I want to tell you something. You're not going to have any fun. There won't be no joy. Are y'all with me? Your circumstances and your situations cannot dictate your joy in life. Circumstances, situations are going to happen, but you have to control your thoughts and you have to think and meditate upon the Word of God and what the promises are to you and walking in them if you're going to have any victory and any joy. And you have to learn to take control of your thoughts. And that was a whole message. You can go back and listen to it. So then the fourth thing that we talked about is you've got to learn to roll your cares off on Jesus. Okay? You've got to learn to have that time that you can sit down with the Lord and roll your cares off on Him. And I don't care how old you are. I don't care how long you've been praying. I don't care what's going on in life. And that makes no difference. It's you have to have that time. You have to have that personal time to sit down to where you can roll your cares off on the Lord. And I talked about that, and you can go back and listen to that message. And then the fifth thing was, is you have to come to understand, to practice the presence of God, to get in God's presence daily. Daily. Not just on Sunday morning. Not just when you come in here to worship. Not just you say, oh, I just love to come to church because I just feel the presence of God. Well, that's great. I'm glad you do. But you need to feel the presence of God in your home. Your home needs to be your sanctuary. Your home needs to be a place where you walk into and you're glad to be home. You walk in there and you're like, oh, thank you, Jesus. This is a glory. I just feel your presence. I love to be here with you, Lord. It's a place that you worship. It's a place that your whole household is set up for the worship of God. Your house is a temple. Your house is a sanctuary. Hello? I love my house. I love to be at my house. I love to go in there, spend time with my wife and worship God, have the presence and know the presence of God is there. Feel the presence of God there. Okay? So that was another whole message, which takes me those first five steps. So let's just say it again real quick. You're going to read your Bible, learn who Jesus is. You're going to meditate on the Word of God. All right? Then you're going to learn to take control of your thoughts. Well, you can't take control of your thoughts if you haven't done the first two, because you've got nothing to control your thoughts with. But if you've done the first two and you've done the third one, which is take control of your thoughts, then you can learn to roll your cares off on Jesus. Which takes us to the fifth thing is then you get in His presence, you spend time in His presence. And that was a whole bunch of stuff in there. I don't want to review it. So that means if you're doing these five things on a continual basis, on a regular basis, are y'all with me? You're learning who Jesus is. You're meditating on the Word of God. I mean, these are simple. But you're reading your Bible, you're learning who Jesus is, you're meditating on the Word of God, all right? You're taking control of your thoughts, so you're not just crazy all the time. Hello? All right, you're not anxious and in anxiety because you're praying and rolling your cares off on the Lord, and you're practicing His presence. It takes you into the place where the fifth thing then can happen. You can't walk in this fifth one unless you've done, or the sixth one unless you've done the first five, all right? Which is simply this. The sixth step is you have to learn to put on the armor of God. Now, I'm sure every one of y'all have heard a million stories about putting on the armor. I mean, messages about putting on the armor of God. But I want to read it here and show you something just a little different. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. It says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication of the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mysteries of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in that I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." Okay. Now, I don't want to simplify this so much that I ruin something for you, but I want you to understand something. If your waist is girded with truth, and you have on the blessed plate of righteousness, and your feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, you have the shield of faith, you have the helmet of salvation, you have the sword of the Spirit. I want to tell you something. All you've done is do the first five things. Where does truth come? Oh, you were learning about Jesus. So then if you've got your waist girded with truth, then all you've done is step number one. You've been learning who Jesus is. You've been doing that. The armor that you're putting on is the principles of the first five steps that you're doing, and now you understand it. All you've done is prepare yourself for war, and now you're really ready to be a warrior. You took the shield of faith. Oh, well, where'd faith come from? Oh, from meditating on the Word of God. That then you saw the promises coming to pass and was true, and faith came into your heart. So, oh, wait a minute, you just did step two. You took the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Well, now you're back to step one. Are y'all with me here? Putting on the armor of God simply means that you have done the first five things and you have come to yourself, and now you're in a state of preparedness to do battle. All right? You've put on the armor. You're ready to go to battle. All right? Okay. Didn't impress you. Didn't y'all just, you know. Okay. So now, let's go back and look at this for just a second. Look back. I don't know which verse it is here, but it says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this age, against the spiritual host of wickedness in heavenly places. This is point number six. You know you're ready and you're prepared to do battle, but you've got to know who you're doing battle with. Your battle, listen to me, your battle is not with your husband or your wife. Your battle is not with your teenage daughter. Your battle is not with the government. Your battle is not with, your neighbor. The battle is not with, you know, all the idiots you work with. Hello? No matter how you cut it, if you look at things from a spiritual point and walking in the Spirit, your battle is against the devil and his cohorts. And they may be using those people and working through those people to irritate you, but your battle is against the enemy, your arch enemy, the devil. It's not against flesh and blood. He may be using flesh and blood against you. That may be his manifestation coming to you, but it's not them. It's not that human being. So if you're going to get in a fight with your husband over a point that you really want to make sure that you know he understands and he doesn't agree with you, and y'all are going to get in a fight and you're going to throw down and just literally throw down and tear the house up, well, then I want to tell you something. You might as well stop at that moment and realize you're not fighting them. Yeah, if they just yield and change and then everything would be okay. No, wait a minute. No. Wait. You're not doing point number six. You're not preparing for battle and realizing who your enemy is. You're not grabbing your wife's hands and saying, look, sweetie, we don't need to fight right now over this because it's not me and it's not you. We're being manipulated and we're being used right now in this situation, in this circumstance. We're being used right now so that the enemy can have victory over us. We're going to get smart here. Now, we've been practicing the first five points, so we need to know what the Holy Ghost is saying of why the enemy is attacking like this and what's going on and how we defeat him. And so I just want you to know, I love you. I'm not going to fight you because you're not the one that I need to fight. Oh, you never thought about stopping and fighting like that, huh? I mean, come on. If you're going to be a warrior for Jesus, then let's at least fight who we're supposed to fight. And we're supposed to fight the enemy, the devil. Listen to me. You can just say this is thus saith Roberts. You can just take it or leave it, whatever. It doesn't really make me any difference. I know I heard God. But I was reading 1 Chronicles the other day, and I believe it's chapter 20. or 21, where it says Satan came against, Satan moved David to number Israel. And you look at the story and you look at that and say, like, why was that such a big deal? He did a lot worse other things than going to number in Israel. My gosh, he stole a man's wife and sent him off and killed him, had him killed. I mean, well, that's a lot worse, God. But God got angry. And while I was looking at that, because you see what happened was is David kind of got to the place in life that he wasn't dependent upon God anymore for giving him direction, because it used to be God spoke to the prophet who spoke to David, who said, I want you to go out and wipe out the Philistines, or I want you to take this country, or I want you to do this. And David moved and operated under the direction of God. Now, all of a sudden, David wanted to know how many men and how many troops he had, so that one of two things, either he could take, knew how big his army was to what he was going to go defeat, or he wanted them for taxation. He wanted to know how many people he's got to get so much money. Either way, David had his own agenda. And so he had his own agenda, so he wanted to know what kind of an army he had. He was thinking up some things he wanted to go do, and that made God mad. And as I'm reading that, the Lord speaks to me and says, that's exactly what's happening in the United States right now. What's happening right now is Satan has moved our government to go out and seek their own agendas, to do their own things, and they're not seeking me and not seeking my direction, wanting me out of the picture, wanting to take me out of everything, wanting to remove me because they don't want direction from me anymore. They want to do their own agendas. And he says, you know, that kind of thing really makes me mad. Okay, so who's the enemy in the situation? Oh, it was David. He was a bad guy. Oh, it's the president. He's a bad guy. No. It's the devil who moved them. Your fight's not with flesh and blood. It's the principalities and powers behind it. And the moment you have done the first five principles till you are prepared, you have the Word of God. You're smart. You know what the Word of God says. You've been meditating on it. God's speaking to you. You're not anxious and have all these weights on you because you've rolled your cares off on the Lord. You've got control of your thoughts. You're not going to be slipped in and sorted off. You know the presence of God. Then all of a sudden you're ready for war, but you have to know who you're fighting. And the most dangerous Christian in the world is the Christian in the world who has a little bit of knowledge but does not know who they're fighting. Because then they've armed themselves with all the armor, and they're slinging their sword around everywhere, and they're killing everything that comes near them, and it's other Christians getting killed, and they just got in the way. You become a ninja assassin, but you don't know who you're assassinating. You're just killing everybody that comes across your path. Those are the most dangerous Christians that have just a little bit of knowledge but don't really know what they're doing. Christians that will manipulate other Christians to get their desire, their will. Christians that will know how to say just the right words to try to, you know, manipulate over there and get this done. Oh, yeah, we'll get that done. It's just witchcraft. And you're fighting the wrong person. It's the devil we want to fight. If you want to kick anybody, kick the devil. If you want to say, God, why'd you do this to me? Forget that stupid speech. Go out there and say, devil, I'll tell you what, I've had enough of you. I over all these years of walking this church, I have learned in life the seasons that I'm in and what's going on. And a month ago, I was in the greatest time of life. I mean, it was not that circumstances and situations were perfect. It was just that, man, there was freedom and liberty in me, and I knew it, and it was joy, and there was peace, and I just could feel the presence of God closer than I had in a long time, and the Word was richer. And then the Lord spoke to me on a Wednesday night and said, start praying for the sick. And I knew that the moment that I did that, I was going to make the devil mad, and I was going to fight him. And so I knew my season of joy was about to be over. And my season of having to, everywhere I turned around the corner, he was there to try to irritate me, was there. And it's been just like that. But I understand, because I'm not mad about it, and I'm not going to get exhausted over it, because I know he's a defeated foe. But he's an irritating little sucker. Hello? But when I get up in the morning and things aren't going right, I don't look and say, oh, God, why are you doing this to me? Because I know how I'm doing battle for. I know who I'm doing battle for. I'm doing battle for God. And I step up and say, devil, I want to tell you what, I want to kick you like a dog today. You are in trouble. I want to tell you something in the name of Jesus. I don't even know what you're doing, but I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. You say, well, who do you think you are, Robert? Well, I tell you who I am. I am a son of God. I'm armed for battle. I have a job to do in life, just like you have a job to do in life. I have somewhere to go and something to do for the King, just like you do. And I'm not going to let the devil irritate me. Does that mean I can make the world perfect? No, there's always going to be, we live in a fallen world. There's always going to be circumstances and situations. I had a flat the other day on my truck. I didn't get out and say, oh, foul devil, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke you. You, God, you know, God put air in my tire right now because I ain't going to put it. No, I unloaded a bunch of trash out by the dump and there was nails and I got a nail in my tire and I had a flat. There's nothing spiritual to write into it. I just had a flat. Are y'all with me? There's sometimes charismatic Christians carry things over too far, you know? Sometimes a cheese sandwich is just a cheese sandwich. There's nothing to write in there and read in there. Sometimes it's not. And you have to be doing steps 1 through 5 to be discerning enough to know the difference. Hello? But there's sometimes you just ran over a nail and you just had a flat. If anything out of it, you can learn patience. Are y'all with me? So what I'm saying to you is, if you're going to enter into step number 6, you have to have done the first 5 things. You have to get good at the first 5 things before you're really ready to go out and do battle. Now, even in the military, the military doesn't train people to say, hey, look, we got a big old 50 caliber over there. Who wants to shoot it? I got some rounds for the tank over there. I got a mortar over there. Who wants to go out and shoot that? Are y'all with me? They train people. Well, as Christians, we need to be like that. We need to be trained in what we're doing. We know who we're fighting and what's going on and the devil behind the situation. Okay? So, point number 6 is simply that. It's simply that, that you have become and aware that you are a ninja fighting warrior for Jesus. You are Conan the Barbarian for Jesus in your life. You are, the radical G.I. Joe, whoever you are, okay? You are a warrior for Christ, but just know who you're fighting. All right? Now, I want to just put a little side note here before I go to the next one. Listen, the devil is defeated and God is on the throne. All right? The devil is defeated and God on the throne. There's no chance that the score may be changed. All right? He is an irritant. He's an irritant. But he is wily. Because it says the wiles of the devil. He is wily. All right? You don't need to give the devil too much credit, and you don't need to give him no credit. You just need to be smart and know that in the name of Jesus, everything is submitted and subjected underneath your feet. Hello? And you need to also just be smart enough to know that, you know, you don't want to go out and pick a fight. A lot of Christians get involved in things and is never their fight. I want to know that God has called me to the fight. Now, what's a given? My family, right? My church family, extended family, you know, my state, where I'm living, you know, my town, my state, all these things, these are givens. You're going to fight for those. But there are other things that you just need to be smart enough to know. Get in the fight that God called you to fight. But when you fight, go in with the attitude to win. All right? So it takes me to the next one, which would be point number 7. All right? Are y'all ready? Okay, so now Let me just keep, I'm going to keep going over this so many times, y'all going to get sick of it. You can just quote it in your sleep. You wake up in the morning and say, oh my God, I'm dreaming again what Pastor preached. You're learning who Jesus is. You're reading your words. You're meditating upon the word. Okay? You're taking control of your thoughts with the meditation of the word that you've learned. Now, you've rolling your cares off on Jesus. You're learning to pray and get that done. You're learning His presence and the walking in the presence of God. Now you've become a warrior for Him. You've got your arms. You've got your weapons on. You've got your armor on. Everything's ready on. So that's going to take you to the seventh thing is you've got to learn. Listen to me. You had to learn to control your thoughts. Now you have to learn to control your mouth. Y'all want me to stop right here and let's just go home? Too much for you? You're just like, oh God. No, now you've got to learn to control your mouth. All right? Because see, just like we teach our sons and our daughters the responsibility of a firearm. And from a young age, we teach them, you know, all about the responsibilities of a firearm, you know? You never point a gun at anybody. You never point, you always see what's behind your target you're going to be shooting at, you know. You all these different things that we talk about, you teach the loaded gun. Why? Because you don't want to have an accident. Well, you've got armor on, and you can go out and you can do battle, but you're going to kill things. And the most important thing that you're going to be using is your mouth. And until you learn to control your mouth, you really don't need to be in battle. Because what'll happen is you'll curse everything. Now, I've often thought about this. The Bible says that death and life is in the power of your tongue. Right? But what do you think would happen if one day, just for an hour, God allowed everything that you said out of your mouth to happen? I mean, everything, every word that rolled off your tongue, it happened. So when you said, I'm so mad at them, I could just kill them. And that person just dropped dead. See, sometimes we got to stop and think when we're saying, Lord, I wish you, you know, why didn't you answer my prayer? Sometimes it's a blessing that He didn't answer all your prayers that day. If death and life is in the power of your tongue and cursings and blessings that come out of your mouth, if you just said, oh, I just hate what she has on, and it just fell off of her. You see what I'm saying? Curses out of your mouth. I mean, we usually cuss, but cussing and cursing are two different things. Cussing is just vulgar speech. Okay? That's just cussing. It's just adjectives that are vulgar. That's it. Cursing is when you take the power of life that you have as a weaponized warrior for God. And you take it and you speak death out of your mouth over a situation. Heaven reacts to that. Because the Bible says that angels are ready to move upon every word of God that's spoken. So in the Old Testament, there was blessings and there was cursings. In the Old Testament, when you bless something and you spoke over it, then it was fully expected that the blessing was going to happen. Isaac came in and he blessed his family. You know, Abraham blessed his family. Everybody, there was blessing spoken. Live long and prosper and may the dew of heaven be upon you every morning. And they fully well expected that to happen. But if you turned and you said, but if this day you turn your hand and you go against me, the curses of hell will come upon you. The hounds of hell will chase you and you will be, you know, eternally in the sun and never have any shade. they fully well expected that. Are y'all with me? So your mouth is the weapon that you have that launches everything out. It's either going to produce life out of it, or it's going to produce death. Let's just take it onto a different situation. If you wake up in the morning and you say, man, this is going to be a terrible day. It's just like recorded in heaven. The angel said, okay, they want a terrible day today, so let's see what we can whip up for them. I don't know that it really works like that, but come on, give it to me, all right? If you walk out that day and you say, man, God, I just thank you that you're with me today. You're right in the midst of me. Lord, you're rejoicing over me with singing today. Glory to God. Listen, you're setting yourself up into the flow of life that day out of your mouth. If you wake up and you say, devil, listen to me, you may have some tricks and some wily ways for me today, but I declare, man, I ain't listening to your temptations. I'm not listening to you today. My ears are tuned to the voice of heaven. My ears are tuned to the voice of the angels singing glory, hallelujah. My ears are going to hear the voice of the Holy Ghost speaking to me and giving me direction today. You say, well, that's just kind of crazy talk, Pastor. Then you don't know how to fight. You've not done steps 1 through 5 and learned what the Word of God said and really learned how to fight. Because what's coming out of your mouth is the rudder of your ship. It's going to dictate everything that goes on. James chapter 3 verse 1 says, my brethren, let it not be many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many things, but if he does not stumble in word, he's a perfect man. He's able to bridle his whole body. That scripture goes on, talks about that your tongue is the rudder of your ship, leading you and guiding you wherever you're going to go. If you can't control your mouth, then you're not going to be an effective person of war. Hello? Because all the devil's got to do is to get you to say what he wants you to say out of his mouth so it'll come to pass. Did you get that? All he's got to do is get you to say out of your mouth what he wants you to say, because death and life is coming out of your mouth. And he's just got to get you to say it so he can bring it to pass. Hello? I remember a person one time walked up to me, kind of patted me on the stomach and says, man, it's like you're gaining some weight. And I just quickly shot back and said, man, you enjoy being a mouthpiece of the devil? And the look on their face was like I hit them in the face with a wet rag, you know? And I said, really, you know, I mean, I'm trying to do my best and I didn't really need a discouraging word today. And so, you know, just God bless you for that. You know, just keep your comments to yourself from now on. All right? All I'm saying is, folks, listen to me. What the person said, he didn't really mean evil by it. But it was the enemy prompting, because I was working at it, and it was a thorn. It was a shot. It was a something that came at me. So I extinguished it with the fiery dart of I extinguished the fiery dart of the devil with the sword of the Spirit. Are y'all with me? The devil's going to come to you all the time. He's going to do everything in the world he can to throw it at you. But you got to get your mouth lined up right. Because if you're speaking what he wants you to speak, then you're just being a mouthpiece for the devil and you're just doing everything that he wants you to do. There's times in my life that my brain and my emotions try to line up against my mouth. Are y'all with me? Like my mouth wants to say bad things. I don't understand what's going on. It's never going to happen. What's the matter with this? My emotions and my brain, they line up against my mouth. But if I can get my brain that's meditating on the Word of God and knows the Word of God, because I've been doing steps 1 through 5, I have something in me to say, I'm controlling my thoughts, and I can get my mouth to line up with what God's Word says. Lord, you said you want to abundantly bless me. You said that all that I put my hands to will prosper. Sometimes I go and I read. If things don't look prosperous in business or finances, or you know, we're trying to get something going and it's not happening, we need some finances or whatever, I'll go to Deuteronomy 28 and I'll just start reading through it and I'll say, all the blessings and, you know, and these blessings shall come upon you, you know, Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the field, and blessed shall you. And you go read all that, and then you realize that is Old Testament. And Hebrews 6 says God wants us to have better promises, you know, better covenants built on better promises in the new covenant. And I'm like, Lord, if that's the, I'll take the old. I mean, it's so good. I'll take the old covenant. It sounds so good there. Y'all with me? I have to remind myself, and then I start saying, you know, I'm blessed in the city and I'm blessed in the field. I'm blessed wherever I go. I'm the head and I'm not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. Are y'all with me? And I have to make my mouth line up and get my head lined up so that my mouth will line up so that I can walk in victory and be an offensive soldier for the Lord instead of having my mouth lined up with the devil and just bringing about his purpose. Are y'all with me? It's your mouth that gets you in trouble. Keep it lined up. You've got to get it. Now this, let me just give you a few things here. Okay? About your mouth. There's four things your mouth should be doing. Okay? And number one of the four things your mouth should be doing is you should be speaking to the mountains, which are the obstacles in your life. In Mark 11:23, Jesus said, "For assuredly I say unto you, whatsoever you say to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them." Jesus said. I didn't say, Jesus said. You got to speak to your mountains. Whatever the obstacles are in your life that you're dealing with, whatever those obstacles are in life, the one number one thing you should be doing with your mouth is speaking to those mountains and telling those mountains to line up with the Word of God. Not murmuring about everything. Not complaining about everything, you know, not cursing everything on the face of the earth, but waking up and speaking to the mountains. If you wake up every morning and you're depressed or you're discouraged, your mountain is discouragement or depression. You should be speaking to your mountain. You may not want to speak to your mountain because you're depressed. You hear what I'm saying? If you're depressed, you don't want to do anything but eat and sleep. Hello? So if you're depressed, you don't want to speak. But I'm telling you, you have to make yourself speak. You have to speak to your mountain of depression and say, you know, depression, I'm tired of being depressed. I'm tired of being tired. I declare right now in the name of Jesus that I want to walk in the abundant life of God. I declare right now that joy is the mark in my life. I declare right now that you don't have a right to be in my life. What you're doing by saying that is you're taking missiles right out of your mouth. They're launching them out. You're shooting ICBM missiles to go and attack the mountain of depression in your life. You're launching them right out. You don't see it. You can't see them flying. Remember the cartoons? You know how in the cartoons, they would the words would come out of their mouth and they would, you know, be like a little bubble there. It is happening. You don't see it, but it is happening. When you're saying that, man, you're that mountain is over there going, poof, 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 man, we're taking some hits today. They're calling radioing back, man, come on, hell, you know, they're radioing back to hell, saying, hey, you know, we're over here in quadrant 74, man, hell's losing this one. Then we're getting some ICBM shot at us over here from the Holy Ghost. We need some reinforcements, demonic reinforcements over here, quick! Oh my gosh! You're launching them out there. I say, I'm not going to be depressed today. I declare depression's not a part of my life. God created me for an instrument of joy. You see, now you're speaking. Mountains are getting destroyed. I just feel like I'll just go home right now. Nobody's listening to me, but listen to me. I'm telling you, somebody out there watching or something better be listening. The whole world forever has just been going and saying, getting up in the morning and saying, Jesus, I'm so depressed. I don't know what to do. Can you help me, Jesus? Do something for me, Lord. You got to quit praying and asking him to do something that he already gave you authority to do. My gosh, when are we going to get that through our thick skulls? We're going and asking Jesus to do something, and He's already done it for us. And it's not going to make you see Jesus make his depression go away. He's like, Jesus sent us in, would you shut up and speak my word out of your mouth? If we could see into that realm, I'm sure he is more tactful than I am, but you're not going to have victory until you get your mouth lined up, and you're not going to see those mountains move until you start launching God's word at them. You say, well, I don't know what my problem is. Well, then glory to God, keep on doing points 1 through 5 till you can get and understand and have a revelation of what really is your problem. You say, well, I don't know that I have a problem. We all have a problem. We all have mountains. I don't care who you are. If you don't think you have a problem, your problem is deception. You are deceived. And the mountain you need to be speaking to is, Lord, I want truth in my life. I declare I will not be deceived. I'm going to walk in truth. Jesus, you said you gave me your word for truth. Truth is the compass in my life. Lord, you're going to give me truth. You need to launch that into your mountain of deception because you don't think you've got a problem. Hello? So your mouth has to become lined up to be an offensive weapon for you, destroying the mountains in your life. And if you're not doing that, folks, you're not going to see results. Quit asking Jesus to do it for you when the power is given to you to speak to your mountains and see them moved and cast into the sea. Sickness. You wake up in the morning. Listen to me. Those of you that I've been praying for and been laying hands on, I mean, here, some of y'all are calling me, telling me that, you know, miracles are happening, things are happening, you're seeing it. Results, but listen to me, no matter what, you should be waking up every day saying, in the name of Jesus, I declare I'm healed. I'm going to walk in health. Health is my mark. I'm walking it because by the stripes of Jesus, I am healed. Jesus, you took those stripes on your back. Your blood was shed down there. It flowed down that cross, made a mess. You gave your life up for us. I declare it's over my life. That's what your word says, and I'm going to walk in it. You say, well, I don't feel like it. I'm too sick. I can understand that because, you know, I can melt and become just like a childlike when I'm sick. I don't like to be sick. And it's hard for me to rise up and speak over things when I'm sick. But I'm telling you, you have to do it. You have to pull your boots on no matter what. You don't want to. Get them on. You have to pick yourself up. You have to speak to it. You have to look at sickness as it's a stray dog that came in. The other day, I couldn't believe it. We're doing a construction job, a remodel job, and I don't know what was wrong with my workers. This stupid cat came up. Neighbor's cat, I guess. I don't know. It's a healthy-looking cat. Stupid cat, though. Just come up and just want to just rub and purr on everybody. And I'm like, you're trying to cut, and there's this stupid cat between your legs, and nobody would run it off. You know? Nobody would just, get out of here, cat. You know? And I was like, man, we're going to trip over a saw, you know, trip over the cat and cut our finger off a saw if you don't get this stupid cat out of here. And so I said something to the guy. I said, man, whose cat's that? And he said, I don't know. Just came over here. I said, well, run that cat off. I said, you know, it's not our cat. Get it out of here. But I didn't get real insistent about it. And so then the next day I come in and the cat decided that somebody left the door open into the house we were working on. The cat's laying in there on the floor of these people's house. And I was like, I looked at the guy and said, it's going to let the cat move in. And he was also settled in. You know, he's laying there like licking his leg. And, you know, he's like, oh, this is a nice house. Thank y'all for remodeling this for me. And I said, man, get the cat out of here. So there, so one of the guys is like, hey, cat. You know, the cat's just like, really? I ain't leaving. And there was a box there that some window shades came in. And so I got that box and I ran over to that cat. And I went, I didn't hit the cat. Don't get mad at me. But I smacked the floor right by that cat. And that cat jumped up like, what in the world are you doing? I'm all just getting settled here. And then I just, get out of the house. You know, chase that cat off. That cat was gone. Folks, I want to tell you something. You got to treat sickness like that. You got to treat these mountains just like that. Don't let them move into your house and settle in.
Don't let depression move into your house and settle in. Don't let discouragement move in and settle in. Don't let sickness come into your house and just set up camp right there and just start licking its old leg and just taking its liberties right there in the middle of your living room. What's the matter with you? You got to recognize the devil. Don't just try to live with him. Don't say, well, it's just better to live with him. You know, that's what's wrong with America right now, is we're trying to live with the devils instead of getting rid of the devils. We're trying to just get so politically correct about everything that we're doing and make everything all like, is this great? And you can't do that. Can't do it, folks. You cannot live and just let things say. Listen, take an inventory of your life and what's going on and mountains that may have gotten settled into your living room and just settled in there in life, things that you've just become apathetic to and just decided to live with it and get up and speak to it and command it every morning to get out of your life according to what the Word of God says. Well, I don't know what the Word says about that. Well, then start doing steps 1 through 5. You see, it all fits together, church. And if we're going to walk in victory and we're going to walk in success, well, then we have to walk in the principles He gave us, and we have to walk in those steps, because then it all lines up and it all makes sense. Hello? So, we got to wake up. We got to wake up and take an inventory. We've got to wake up and see, where do we need to be launching missiles to? And it's not to flesh and blood. It's never going to be to flesh and blood. You don't need to say, Lord, if you would just remove my neighbor from me, I would not have to deal with this anymore. When the disciples, remember, they went to the Samaritan town and they didn't receive Jesus, and he said, hey, you want me to call fire down on them? Burn them all up. I mean, these guys were getting the understanding of a spiritual authority. They were just getting it in the wrong way. And Jesus looked and said, man, you don't know what spirit you're of. In other words, you're missing it here. You're not getting hold of the grasp of the importance that you are on earth. Yes, you're to be destroying kingdoms, but destroying the kingdoms of darkness, not the kingdoms of humanity. Are y'all with me? Okay, I'm going to close. I got some other things I want to say, but I feel like I'm going to get in trouble if I say them. Y'all just want me to say it, y'all can just... We probably need to edit this one. But I'm going to say it because I'm just, you know, want to feel kind of feisty. I am dumbfounded today at the ignorance of American people. I'm dumbfounded how we can allow a group of people to try to put us under their law and then say, well, it's okay for y'all to do what you want to do, when the whole time their goal is to destroy us. And I want you to understand, that is the example of what's going on in the Christian world. We've allowed the devil to come into our lives. We've allowed him to set up camp. We've tolerated it. We've tried to accommodate. We've tried to be graceful because we thought as Christians we needed to be nice and, you know, passive and not aggressive. And so we've allowed the devil to set up camp in our lives, in our thinking. And we've become apathetic to it.
Whenever Christians are debating whether sickness and disease is from God or not, they've allowed the devil to move into their camp and become apathetic. Whenever Christians are debating in their lives whether we're supposed to be in poverty, and that's really the humble way to be, and that you've become apathetic in your thinking and you've let the devil set up camp in your life. That's the manifestation of that in our lives today, physically, is the Muslim world trying to make the Christians submit and live together. It's the natural manifestation of it. It's the natural manifestation of a spiritual principle. Are y'all with me? And it can't be tolerated. It's just like it can't be tolerated in your life. It has to be ruled out. So you need to take an inventory of your life. Anywhere that you've let the enemy set up camp. You see, I'm a simple guy. I really am. I'm a deep thinker, but I'm a simple guy. I simply say, if it's in the Bible, I believe it. If it's not, I don't. If I don't understand everything about how the Bible is, what the Bible exactly is talking about, well, then I just go ahead and say, well, look, I'm just going to put it right there on the back burner. I'm not going to say I don't believe it. I just don't know how to apply it at this moment, so I'm just going to let it sit there. But I do believe the Bible's true. Okay? I mean, that's just me. I'm a simple guy. I believe the Bible's true. And I believe the Bible says if you shouldn't do it, then don't do it. And if you do it, there's going to be consequences. And I believe the Bible says do it. If you do it, there's going to be consequences too. They're going to be good ones. And that's just the way I look at it. I just believe in an old-fashioned, good old gospel God. All right? I believe if you love your neighbors and treat your neighbors right, then blessings are going to be upon you. And if you are ugly to your neighbors and do that, what you've done unto them is going to happen to you. Man, you got a bad bomb coming your way. All right? And I believe that God is God and the vengeance is His. And I believe in the end times, everybody's going to stand before Jesus and all going to have to give an account for it. Right? It's just going to happen. I don't want to have to think about anything else. But I'm telling you, we've got to give an inventory and an account of our own lives, and we've got to look into our lives and see what are we allowing the devil to do. And if we're allowing the devil to steal our time, that we don't spend time in the Word, we don't spend time reading, we don't spend time in faith, and we don't spend time confessing and speaking to the mountains, and we don't spend time doing this, but we spent time watching television or doing whatever we did, then you're going to give an account for that. Hello? Look at the person beside you. I just love it when pastor preaches like this. So let's don't be Christians who are apathetic. Amen? Now, I got three more points of things that you got to do with your mouth, but I think one's all you could handle today. And so I want you to just stand to your feet if you would. And I want my prayer team to come down this morning. If you're here today and you need prayer, we're here for you. If you're fighting sickness in your body, then we're here to pray for you. If you know, listen to me, you're here today and you know that you've given place to the devil. It's the only way I can say it. Simply enough. You know that you've been apathetic to something going on in your life and you want it to stop today. You're willing to stand your ground because the Bible says when you've done all else, stand. And you're willing to stand up today and say, no more. I am not putting up with this in my life. If that's you, I'm going to pray for you right now. Okay? I don't necessarily need a show of hands because between you and God. All right? But I want you just to bow your heads, that's you and this message has spoke to you and God's speaking something to you like saying, man, you've been allowing that depression in your life or you're allowing that whatever in your life and you know it right now, then just begin to hold that up to the Lord right now and I'm going to pray. Father, I just declare in the name of Jesus, I just declare, Lord God, that right now you just move over the hearts of the people. That there is a fire in their bones. There's something that stirs down on the inside of them by the power of your Spirit. And no longer today will they stand and put up with the apathetic things of the devil in their lives. Lord, I declare that there's a house cleaning today in this building, and those that are listening, those that are watching, there is a house cleaning in our lives today. There's a conviction by the power of the Holy Ghost in our lives, and that no longer will we tolerate nor live in those circumstances. We're not living in the house with the dogs anymore that are all got to go. There ain't no cat setting up house in our house. And Lord, today we declare we're running it out. We declare today that we're taking a stand. We declare today that we're putting our foot down and saying enough is enough. And we're speaking to our mountains. And we're commanding those mountains to be moved, to be cast into the sea, to be removed from our lives. And so, Lord, I thank you for it. I praise you for it. Now, right now, by the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord, just open up their eyes, open up their hearts, and let each and every one of them see it. See it in their lives. So, Lord, I praise you for it, and I thank you for it. I declare today, if you're listening or you're watching right now, I just declare today, that prayer is coming over to you too. I declare right now, your life is changing, your heart's changing. There's victory coming into your house. Right now, you sense the presence of God like you've never sensed the presence of God before, because you're doing a house cleaning. You're doing a house cleaning, and I thank you for it. You're going to see great victories. Now, Lord, I declare right now in Jesus' name that the power and the blessing of God is upon each and every one of these people. That as we walk out into the world, Lord, we're going to see you at every turn. That our eyes are open to see you, our ears are open to hear you. And, Lord, we're going to walk in that. And we're going to tell others about you. And so, God, we give you praise for it. We give you thanks for it. Just bless them all, Lord, right now in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Church, we're here for you. If you need prayer, come on down. We'll pray for you and see God move in your life.